Go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. This is going to be part 2, since we didn't get finished up with what we had last week. And what we're going to do today is more of a teaching type thing than preaching. And for years that's what people, they said, oh, he's more of a teacher than what he is a preacher. And that was really true. And then slowly it was like God morphed me into something else. But I think a pastor, to be true to his calling, he's got to do some teaching, and we're going to do that today. One other thing I want to say, and I want this to go to the Centralia branch as well, there's a reason why the preacher gets slightly aggravated when kids don't pay attention, when babies cry. And I'll grant, I hate to preach to heads. I want to preach to faces, okay? I was preaching over at Salem AG Church, and I told them, I said, your Sunday school curriculum has never been more important to you right now than while I'm preaching. I was saying some things I don't think they like to hear, so they was all looking through their... and there's a reason why. Maybe my attitude would be different if I never studied, if there was nothing put into the service, that if we unlocked the door and walked up on stage and started playing the piano and we just started in, hey, what song are we playing next? I don't know what you want to sing next. I don't care. I don't know. Aunt Sally likes this song. My attitude, if we was like that, my attitude would be different. But since, and this is no exaggeration, and more so by everybody else other than me, I know easily over 100 hours of time goes into this service that you're in right now. Amen. So there's some investment involved. I asked Kay last night, how many families go to Orchardville Church and also the Centralia branch? And she said, I'm guessing, I'm going to say 350. I said, what would be the average driving distance that they would drive? And I know I had something in my mind. She said, well, 15 miles. And that's about what I was thinking. 15 miles. 350 families driving, each one of them driving 15 miles. That's 5,250 miles. How far is it across the United States? Anybody? 3,000 miles? 3,500 miles? Picture that. 3,500 miles to drive across the United States, and some total 5,250 miles is driven to get to here and get to Centralia Branch. So there have been people that have put forth the effort to be here. There have been the praise team and myself and the ushers and the security, and right on down the line we can go of time and effort that's put into this service. So yeah, I want everybody right up to speed with what's going on. Everybody. Because effort has been put into this service for you to receive something from God. We're not just showing up and turning on the lights and singing a song. We're not doing that. So there's been real effort and time put into it. Well, you're not putting in no effort and time then, if you have that attitude. All right, there's the pastoral part and what I wanted to say today. Now, go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you would bring forth the Christ child, the Messiah, her question was, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel's answer to her was three words, the Holy Spirit. Same thing here. You'll receive power. How is that power going to come about? Jesus said, The Holy Spirit. There's the answer. There's the answer. There's the answer for every church. The Holy Spirit. But you should receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Father, take the few words that we will speak here this day, and I am praying, God, that dividends will be reaped in people's spiritual lives because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at, we believe, the power of the Holy Spirit for our country. Today let's look at, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit for our church. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and to drink. He that believes on me, out of his innermost being will come rivers of living water. Jesus is talking about the fountainhead. We're talking about where this living stream of water will erupt and start within your life. And why does the Holy Spirit come upon us and empower us? What is that power for? Power for service. 2 weeks ago, or maybe last Sunday, I can't remember. Last Sunday morning, let's say, I saw as teachers was getting ready and going to their class, one, Brother Tim, I seen him walking across the parking lot to go into the Ranger building to teach his class. And you could just see the look on his face, anticipation, excitement. He was ready for that class. And I remember thinking back of different classes that I have taught and how excited I was to teach that class. Couldn't wait to get there. Couldn't wait to give out to what God had given me that week. I was excited. Joe DiMaggio, last Sunday morning, he come to me after the service was over, and he was telling me, he said, preacher, I know this is not a spiritual show, but I was watching this, and God started giving me some insights to this. And the show was Yes Man. How that, whatever the story was in this Jim Carrey, he said no to everybody. He said no to everything. I mean, something happened to where he was now saying yes. And he said, I thought of my own life to where somebody would say, what about this job or that job in the church? No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And he said, something has happened to me to where now I'm saying yes. Thank God when people are willing to say yes. Yes, I'll get involved. Yes, I'll do something. You don't have to be to where you got to beg and beg and beg and beg. Where the job arises, yes, I want to get involved. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power for you to do service for the kingdom and for the work of God. Amen. Preacher, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, I got another question. Here's a real question. Does the Holy Spirit have you? There's a real question. Oh, yeah, I've got the Holy Spirit. It's just up here. I just notched it off. And that's the real question, is, does the Holy Spirit have you? Wilford was telling me Tuesday night, or I think it was, as we was going to the ball game, and he made mention of years ago how much zeal he had. And he said, today, I've got more faith than I've ever had. I have more love for Jesus than I ever have. But I've got to watch out, because if I'm not careful, the zeal level goes down. That is the same for us all. What I seen out of them two guys last week, Tim and Joe, I seen the zeal of God in their life, wanting to get involved and wanting to do something. See, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit filling us up. Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled to the full is what that means. I could have illustrated this, but I'd have made a big mess. I could have a big basin of water here and have and be pouring that over into a pitcher. And you could say, well, it's a quarter, it's a half, it's 3/4. It's not full yet until it's going over the side, and then it's full. And we're real good about having Brill Cream Christianity, where a little dab will do me. Or it just kind of protects me from, I get inoculated, I've got a little bit, and it just kind of protects me from just the real deal, because I just got a little bit. I've got enough to where I can talk it at work, or where somebody mentions something about church, where I can say something, but no, I'm not sold out to Jesus because somebody might call me a fanatic. Well, boo to that. The Holy Spirit guides me. When I was in Israel, I had a guide. I was dependent on the guide. We was in Jordan, and these Arabs running around, and our guide was Arab. Once we got to Israel, it was like, this is safer than your own backyard. And then when I paid half to go, then my literature changed. Then it was, you ought to at least get insurance, that way if something would happen, God forbid, you can be flown back. Yeah. You heard about the guy that his mother-in-law died while she was over in Israel, and they phoned him and said, hey, your mother-in-law's passed away, and we could do everything right here, and it'd save you a lot of money. Otherwise, we've got to ship her all the way back. And he goes, no, just ship her back. Yeah, but it cost you $5,000 for us to do that. No, ship her back. We can do everything here for $500. Ship her back. Well, why would you want to ship her back? Well, you people had dead people before, and they didn't stay dead in your country. Ship her back. The Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit in my life. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Again, if your idea is, well, just a little dab, that's really all I need. You need more than what you think you need. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit for the church. Somebody have asked me, how can you give an account for Orchardville Church? Well, it's plain and simple to me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. They ain't a McDonald's here after church where you go to McDonald's right next door. You got one reason to go to this church, because you know the Word of God is going to be expounded and you're going to experience the Spirit of God when you get here. There's no other reason to come out here. Unless you want to dodge turkeys and deer and Amish buggies and everything else. I was making a hospital visit a few years back over at St. Louis, and there was a pastor that was there in the waiting room, and we struck up a conversation, and intelligent man. I mean, he had been everywhere. He had started 4 churches in America. He'd started 3 churches overseas. He was a graduate from Moody Bible Institute. A very learned man, very good guy to be able to talk with. And about the 15 or 20 minutes I spent with him was really enlightening. And then he said, and sir, where did you get your advanced learning? And I said, that would be Wayne City High School. And he said, well, that works too. It's got to work, because that's about it. And it's not due to some advanced learning that I have. It's due to the Spirit of God being given the opportunity to flow within this church. I said last week, God didn't say, I'll pour water on the beautiful. God said, I'll pour water on the thirsty. God didn't say, I'll pour water on the handsome. God said, I'll pour water on the thirsty. And I'll grant you, you probably haven't met too many preachers like me. What was that? I have never fit in to certain categories very well. Never have. There's one group out there, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, their idea is anything goes. Church service starts, circus time for Jesus is what we're all about here. Circus for Jesus. Anything goes. And the preacher better not say anything about it, because he'd be quenching the Spirit. Because I've got something to say and I want to say, and you better not say anything against me, because you'll be quenching the Spirit. That's one extreme. The other extreme is, it all passed away with the disciples. You ever heard that? You ever heard anybody say that? They never say that with a joyful, gleeful look on their face. Never do. Never do. It all passed away with the disciples. It's amazing to me and I'll just get on one little tangent here. The people that believe in Reformed theology, basically, God just picks and chooses who's going to be saved. There's about 10 scriptures in the Bible for that. Five of them, I feel, have to do exclusively with Israel. So they took five verses, and you can find volume after volume after volume written about that, and there are hundreds of verses in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit, and they just act as though that's not even in there. Big difference between interpreting Scripture and ignoring Scripture. We'll act as though that's not there. We'll major on something else, and this is what our life will be, and this is what our church will be. There, and I heard this. The day of miracles are over. That is a phony baloney statement out of the gate. There has never been a day of miracles. That's like saying this day has miracles and the next day don't. We serve a God of miracles. Ain't got nothing to do about a day of miracles. God is the God of the miraculous. In Acts chapter 9, the church was strengthened and encouraged. How? By the Holy Spirit. If a church is weak, what do they need? The Holy Spirit. If a church is discouraged, what do they need? The Holy Spirit. What was the byproduct of that? The church grew in number, living in the fear and honor of God. Yeah. Now, I'm going to shift gears here a few times. You're just going to have to stay up with me because I'm not going to say I'm going to shift gears every time. But here's the first time. As pastor of this church, I do not have an open forum where anybody can just say whatever they want. You might even have that gift to where you have a vocal gift and I just want to get up and say whatever I want. And I have received and asked for and received counsel from different pastors that I knew, and finally it dawned on me, you're asking the wrong people. I was asking pastors that had 80 people in their church. And they knew everybody, and they knew who their aunt was, and they had cookies with them every night, and they knew everything about them. And sure, they know every person that's there. That's not the case at Orchardville Church. Amen. And the Bible says to know them that labor among you. I want you as a congregation to feel totally comfortable anytime a message in tongues would be given and the interpretation, or anytime a word of prophecy would be given. I want you to feel totally comfortable about that. And the reason I say that is because I want you to know that that person, as you've seen them do before, they have come straight to me and they have told me, I have a message in tongues. I want to be able to give that. I will tell them either thumbs up or thumbs down. And if they give that, you know they have, you've probably seen it happen where they've walked right over to me and asked me about that very thing. Again, we do not have an open forum where you're just going to say anything you want to say. Do you think I allow just anybody to get up here and preach behind this pulpit? I do not. Do you know that we get a lot of phone calls in the run of the year to where somebody wants to come and preach at Orchardville Church? And when they rhyme to me on the phone, I always know this ain't the right guy. Give you a for instance. We're going to get them all to heaven in 07. I always think, oh, good night. 2001, we got the devil on the run. Oh, good night. We don't have a time for you to be able to preach. So no, we're just not going to allow anybody that thinks that they've got something from God. I'm convinced in the past, some have tested me on this very subject, thinking that how much will this preacher allow me to do? And some have found out real quick what my answer to that is. I was sitting right up here, standing during the service one time, and a guy comes up to me and said, I've got a word from God for this church. I said, I don't know who you are. That don't matter. I got a word from God for this church. I said, sir, I've got a word for you. What is it? Go sit down. I didn't know that guy from anybody. And it wasn't long. He was no longer here at this church. And it wasn't long. He was speaking against this church. I would have been a fool to let that guy got up. Because the moment that would have happened, yeah, I mean, seeing that and you realize you put out a garden, that weeds will come up no matter what. They just come up. I can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And finally people go, oh, yeah, I get that now. Some knucklehead get up and say something screwball and you hear it one time and you remember it the rest of your life. It's a weed. It grows without any kind of help whatsoever. The Bible says in Proverbs, a man's gift makes room for him, not the other way around. It's not a man makes room for his gift. Here, let me push you out of the way so I can get up here. No, your gift will make room for you. That's God's word. That's what God says. The gift is for the church. It's not so you can show your gift and everybody can be so blessed that I'm here. No, the gift is for the church. All right, another shifting gears. I said I wasn't going to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Pastors cannot lead their congregation where they themselves have never been. That's just a fact. That's a fact from heaven. Furthermore, doctrine, a guy can get up and preach line upon line, precept upon precept, but if he himself has no experience of that, it will do nobody any good. It won't do him any good. It won't do anybody else any good. Doctrine must have experience linked with it, and then it will become life-changing to the person that's heard it. I said heard it on that last two words. I kind of run out of gas there. Now, things that a prophecy, a word of prophecy will bring. If you hear a word of prophecy and it's all thunder and lightning and there's no hope in it, that's not from God. Furthermore, I think a lot of Christian people opt out for lazy boy Christianity when their idea is, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to fast, I'm not going to read the Bible, I'm just going to go to Sister Super Duper, and she's going to give me the word for my life. Or I'm going to go to Mr. Yamaha Suzuki or whatever, and he's going to give me a word of direction for my life. I don't see where that word of prophecy is used a whole lot for to give you guidance in your life. And I've seen this before and where it wreaks havoc to people. Years ago, it was Thomas Magnum. What was his name? Tom Selleck. It was Tom Selleck. Where all the women was just, you know, oohing and gooing over him. And I was in a service one time. And this woman wasn't the prettiest woman on the planet, but somebody gave her a word that she's going to marry someone that looked like Tom Selleck. It wasn't going to happen. And it didn't happen. So again, I'm going to wait back and held back and just wait for some kind of super word. And then that word's going to come. And here Tom's going to come down bearing roses to me. And all, it ain't going to happen. Here's what it does. 2 Peter chapter 1. Prophecy is as a light that shines in a dark place. It'll bring illumination to your life. And more times than not, if you ever receive that from someone, it's going to be something that you already knew. And God is backing that up in your spirit. Revelation 19, for the testimony of Jesus, I like this, is the spirit of prophecy. True prophecy will bring illumination, and true prophecy, Jesus will be at the heart of it. I mean, to me, one of the best illustrations of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus is the golden candelabra there in the Old Testament. The candlesticks is the Holy Spirit. The golden candle itself, the main branch, is Jesus. What does the golden candlesticks do? They shone forth the main branch there. Showed forth who Jesus was. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I've seen and heard some crazy things. I mean, down at the Church of God, at their camp meeting one year, a woman gets up and says, as Elijah drew out the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, and Elijah led them through the Red Sea, and Elijah fed them, and Elijah, and Elijah. And finally she stops and said, you know, it dawns on her what's going on. The Lord has made a mistake, as Moses. It wasn't the Lord making a mistake. Her woman got up. As Cat in the Hat would say, well, it don't matter what she says from there on out. It don't matter. As Cat in the Hat would say, that makes that word invalid. Thought Dr. Seuss ain't the source. He's not. We've got to base it upon the Word of God. The Word of prophecy will strengthen, it will encourage, and it will comfort. Again, if it's blood and thunder and there ain't no hope there, it ain't from God. You're going to leave this service and there's going to be tires screeching and there's going to be blood and the windows are going to be broke out. That's not from God. That does not edify, it does not build up, it does not strengthen. And the Bible said that's what a word of prophecy will bring. Now let's look at tongues with the interpretation will build up the church. And I'm going to say something here that most of you have never heard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if no interpreter is present, you should keep silent or pray to be given the interpretation. Well, I don't have the gift of interpretation. Hey, if ain't nobody else in the service that has that, you ought to pray. God ain't going to ask you to pray for something and not give it to you. If you feel like you've got to give that, you've already been given the okay to give that, you should give it and then pray that God give you the interpretation. That's what the Bible says. And not every Christian agrees that speaking in tongues will be present when a person's baptized in the Holy Spirit, but most Christians would agree that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And the person that does not have a prayer language, a language that you have never learned. Hey, I don't go in for that. I go for the old-timey stuff. Well, you need to go old-timey all the way back then. Because old-timey all the way back, Mary, the mother of Jesus, received that. Peter, James, and John and the disciples received that. And it's definitely from God, and there's not one single verse in the Bible that said that's all been done away with. Not one. Right. Not one. Not one. Now, here's the point, again, that you may have never heard before. A person that has never spoken in tongues, and God given that prayer language, that's never happened to them, how can they be used in the rest of the gifts of the Spirit? Here's how it works. The word of prophecy, can they be used? Yes. Word of wisdom? Yes. Word of knowledge? Yes. Gift of faith? Yes. Gift of miracles? Yes. The discerning of spirits? Yes. Interpretation of tongues? Yes. A message in tongues? No. I don't see where that would make any sense whatsoever if they hadn't received that initially. Now, what's the reason for the infilling? Here it is. It's to build you up for you to win somebody else. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. The Bible says if there's no interpreter, again, that they should remain silent or pray that God would interpret that through them. But listen, I've seen preachers do as much damage as they've done good. And they get up and they get excited and they're preaching, and all of a sudden they speak in tongues, no interpretation is given. The very thing that they would disparage anyone else from doing, they're doing. Preacher, why can't we just do away with all that? We don't want to mess with all of that. You know why I think that is dangerous? Because it very well could be doing. In doing that, we're squeezing down the flow to where it could stop flowing and it just be a little bitty trickle. It builds you up. But unless there's interpretation, it don't do any good for anybody else. So if you're up here and you're praying for somebody, you need to be praying in a language that they understand. Because again, it may really make you feel good and it builds you up, but it ain't doing nothing for the person you're praying for. That's right. That's right. So why do we receive this? Jesus told us. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That's why. Both branches, Orchardville Church, November the 15th, a few weeks ago, there was 1,158 people present. That's pretty incredible. Let me tell you something more incredible. If every person would have brought one person with them the following week, November 22nd, we would have had 2,316 people. November 29th, today, if we would have kept that up, what we should have in service today, counting both branches, 4,632 people. December the 6th, if everybody brings one, we would have 9,264 people. Preacher, we don't have a place to put them. Well, we got to cross that bridge when we get there. December 13th, if everybody would bring one, we would have 18,528 people. December the 20th, if everybody would bring one, we would have 37,056 people. And by the end of the year, last Sunday of the year, December 27th, if everybody would have brought one, we would have 74,112 people. And my dad, the whole time I was growing up, he would say, Mark, you ain't nothing but a dreamer. Well, I got something to add to that, Dad. I'm a dreamer that's thirsty for God to do something big. A preacher told me and Steve one time, he said it was just like God just shined the light bulb in his head. He said, I was driving down a road that I drove down 100 times, and there was a church. He said, I'd even preached in that church, and I thought 100 people could not be put into that building. And then he goes, it was from God. He said, I got to thinking about every church. 100 people wouldn't fit in that building. 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 He said, our vision has been too small. 100 people wouldn't fit in that building. Our vision has been too small. Man, we want people to be reached. Wednesday night, I received a phone call from Jody Greenwald. And she's telling me about her two oldest daughters. One of them is 6, the other one is, how old, 8? 9. And she said, Mark, my daughters have been saved today. Hallelujah. It's like, oh, man, man. And I thought, when I got off the phone with her, so many people have to be repaired. So many people have to be fixed. But those two young lives, how the Holy Spirit knocked on those lives, and those two little girls said yes. God can direct their path all the rest of their days. Amen. That is awesome. Amen. That is awesome. And it's the power of the whole. I mean, preachers want to preach. We want to preach about the roughest guy in town getting saved and everybody, yes, 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 yes. That is a miracle. Amen. Just as big. Amen. Just as big. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you've got that thirst within you, it's not just come weal or woe or status is quo. I got an interpretation on that. Interpretation of that is you're in a mess and don't even know it. I want to be thirsty. I want to be thirsty. I want to be thirsty. And Jesus said, it's a fountainhead within your life that'll begin to grow and will flow out of your innermost being. And why does this happen? So you can impact somebody else. Impact somebody else. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I do ask and pray that this thirstiness be reawakened within me. God, it be reawakened in the people of this church. Because Lord, when I know when that happens, people will be excited for you, excited for your kingdom, and they'll bring others to you. Help that, God, be birthed in every person that's here. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's never said yes to Jesus as Savior, I ask and pray that you speak to their heart. Let them know that it begins at your feet. It begins right there at your feet. In Jesus' name.
Feel the winds of the Spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven lit us here. We feel the rains of your love. We feel the winds of the Spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven lit us here. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it.
It is our prayer that you have been blessed as you've listened to this message. If you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please contact us here at Orchardville Church. You can visit our website at orchardvillechurch.com, or you can contact us by phone at area code 618-835-2677.